This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 189, Year-End Technology Blues. This is Michael Rowe on a Friday afternoon at GamesAtWork.biz with my co-host and friend Michael Martin.
Yay!
You like that natural, unstrained radio voice?
I did. That's why I went all Muppets on you.
It's Muppet time. Well, this is our last recording of the year of 2017, and you and I are both really excited about everything going on in the world of technology. Well, maybe not everything. Okay. Yes, we are. We are. We are excited about things that are in three dimensions in the world of technology.
Yeah.
Beginning with an article that you found over at Digital Trends about scientists printing a Wi-Fi device.
Yeah, so my take on this was, this is an interesting Internet of Things example where printed 3D plastic products without batteries, boxes, wires, or bags can communicate with one another over a Wi-Fi network. And I thought that was really, really interesting. So the example that they give is you could have a connected plastic bottle of laundry detergent that can broadcast its current fill level and notify a retailer that is about empty and reprovision itself. So I thought it was really neat that plastic without batteries could communicate over a Wi-Fi network. And when we were talking about this just before getting started here, Michael, you said you've seen something like this before too, have you?
Well, I read about it actually roughly around the same time. I guess it was a different article and triangulating. I think it's the same story. And I was watching the video on this article too. So I'm pretty sure it is. It's interesting. It's all about frequency, right? And by frequency, I mean sound waves that cause a certain frequency. And that frequency is then able to be picked up by antennas in devices. So is it Wi-Fi? It's not 802.11a or AC or B or N.
Or G.
It's picking up a frequency caused by literally the clicking of a piece of plastic, right? Mechanical gears making a sound wave that is able to be picked up by an antenna.
There we go.
So once you kind of... I love the story. I love the hype. I thought it was really cool. But once it really comes down to it, it's like, well, yeah, of course, right? You know, Wi-Fi is just sound waves at an extremely high frequency, right? In the megahertz and gigahertz range.
So basically, I would need another hub in my home.
Yeah. Well, in this case, they talk about there's a metal antenna that you would use to detect the message that's coming in. So yeah, you would need
but it's a hub.
You would need some kind of decoder. When the clicky device is the encoder. You would need a decoder. And I remember. Do you remember what modem stands for?
Modulator, demodulator, perhaps?
It does.
Ooh,
and snap. I remember, way back in the day where you had to have special types of modems for asynchronous versus bisynchronous communications, right? Because some modems could transmit and then receive, but they couldn't transmit and receive at the same time. So, yeah. But this is cool. I like the implications of the technology, right? I like the fact that you could then start causing sensor data to be transmitted through a mechanical means in order to improve access to insights about products and technology.
Yeah. And just the fact that it does not require electronics to me is an interesting next step too, because having power, even just small battery power, is it's a limiting factor, right?
Well, you know, there is new Wi-Fi technology that keeps being rolled out slowly. 5G is one set of new Wi-Fi technology in the cellular band, but there's also things like LoRa and LoMax and Sigfox and other extreme low power consumption Wi-Fi networks for IoT type devices. I know a couple of years back working with some people on the LoRa Alliance, which is, you know, devices that basically could use a AA battery and last 10 years and transmit through concrete. Right. And get you 1 to 2 mile distance, 2.5 mile distance on the receiver. So when you think about embedding sensors in streets and in buildings and in very crowded spaces, those type of technology are there. But still, after 10 years, you got to replace the battery. Doing some kind of mechanical sensor. The only thing I worry about this is, given that it is literally just a frequency modulation that it picks up caused by a physical click, right? I wonder the susceptibility to noise.
Yeah, have you ever? That's a good point. Yeah. What if you had a woodpecker, right?
You remember
I've
900
cases of Tide that
you remember
just
the 900 megahertz portable phones in the house?
Yes.
And then if you turn on the microwave, your phone would stop working.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Used to have the same problem with the 1200 plus megahertz microwaves, right? Or 1200 watt microwaves causing problems at different Wi-Fi signal rates.
Sure. Yeah.
So again, it's literally a wave, a sound wave of some sort, high frequency sound waves that are being distracted and caused by noise interferes the signal. I was listening to, I don't remember which podcast it was. I think it was Daily Tech News Show earlier this week. Yeah. And they had another example like this, but it was people using, was it a wet string? And being able to transmit data down a wet piece of string. We used to do that with tin cans, right?
Yeah. No, there's a fantastic Monty Python routine about 1,001 uses for
a banana.
Some string.
Oh, the string one? I remember the weapon one with a banana.
Yeah.
Defending yourself against a man armed with a piece of fruit.
With a fruit. they're super absorbent, the string. So, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that article around the 3D printed objects, if you go down just a little bit more, there are some examples of smart fabrics.
Yes.
Speaking of string, that can also store data, limited amounts, right? It's magnetized fabric that you're essentially reading and writing to. Although at some point when you wash them, that feels like that's a little bit like an eraser, I guess, against the data that's in your fabric. But another interesting sort of thing where you can imagine that the uniform is your key to get around and do what you need to do. So you could authenticate people by what they're wearing, and what they're wearing transmits that, again, wirelessly and without any kind of energy consumption.
Yes. And here it is. I found the string. Let me see. String. Come on. I found the article. Now I'm trying to find the article. But basically, researchers have been able to do a 3.5 megabit transmission over a piece of string.
It's really funny.
I love it. It was on Daily Tech News Show, their episode from December 13th. So I highly recommend people, if you're listening to us and you don't listen to Daily Tech News Show or something like it, go listen to that. This was perfect. This is just hilarious.
Awesome.
Awesome. So So
let's move.
Now you have 3D string printed clickety clickities, and we go from physical to virtual with another article that you found on some new stuff for the Pixel user in your life.
Yeah, so it is definitely time for augmented reality in this podcast, which it's always time for that. And it's time for Star Wars, given the release of said movie. And hopefully you and I will both be able to see it soon so that we will not get all the spoilers spoiling our fun and games.
Spoiling spoiler spoils.
I've heard some good things already about this one.
I have too. Spoiling spoiler people.
Yeah, so hopefully
and it just started at midnight last night.
I know.
It's like and on. You already had to post crap. Yeah, why did you do that?
Thanks, spoilers.
Stop that.
Yeah, don't do that. So if you dial over with me on your Pixel to ye old The Last Jedi AR stickers, the video here is really, really, really interesting that you can take these selfies make it look like you're doing a selfie video walking past huge groups of stormtroopers, or that there are other Star Wars, droids, or what are those little
BB-8s?
Oh, porgs.
Oh, the porgs.
Porgs. You know, they're popping around.
You know, those are delicious in a stew.
Oh no, they don't look that delicious. But the notion of an AR sticker, I kind of like this, right? So you can bring an AR object into your AR-enabled Pixel device, and it's kind of now a sticker that will show up in the picture that you do.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, they're little three-dimensional video clips as stickers, right? And I do like the fact that you can place a bunch of them and then act out a scene with them, right? That's the basic premise here, which is really cool. So I was impressed by that. And if you watch the video on the article and then scroll down, there's another video about the same thing that they did with Stranger Things.
Ah, yeah.
Did you ever watch Stranger Things?
Not even once.
Not even once. Neither have I. But I might have to one day when I get that service.
All right. So, but now, oh goodness. So, also on Digital Trends, linked from the link. Like we're on a trend for this today on Digital Trends. There's something called Insta Saber. It says, hey, want a lightsaber? Just roll up a piece of paper and Insta-Saber will do the rest.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's an augmented reality app. It says coming soon to the App Store. You can watch a demo, but essentially
Apple's AR kit.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look at this.
I will have to click look at this.
Look at this. Here.
I can't look at it on your side. I've got to look at it on my side.
This is awesome.
Is it awesome? That is pretty cool.
Isn't it?
That's
and you probably
cool.
could pick which color you want, you know. So if you want that, you know, that Mace Windu purple or something.
Yeah.
You go that way.
Ah. Well, the problem is when he tried to cut up the little stuffed animal, it kept moving afterwards.
Yeah. Well, you know, those stuffed animals are tough. They take a beating.
And keep on getting sliced up. Oh, now he's going to rob Wells Fargo with it. That's cool.
So, augmented reality all the time, everywhere, and we're starting to see more and more of these sort of things come to life. So it's not just Star Wars. It's all kinds of stuff. It's not just Pokemon. It's a whole lot more. And over on the MIT Technology Review, got a note earlier this week saying, hey, here's a number of them that allow you to do some what do they call them? Fake futures, what they said. So they had some games where your puzzle pieces are in augmented reality, or your play will be with physical and digital aspects at the same time. I was thinking Teddy Ruxpin when I first saw that bear, but that wasn't him. It was this bear where you can
Paddington bear.
No.
I know it's Parker.
Yeah, it's Parker. but where you could put the thermometer in the bear, and then the augmented reality app that's next to you will do something with it, or you could take pictures of them, or you could put a Band-Aid on
X-ray bib.
Yeah. The X-ray bib. That's a little scary. Did you from the thing that was here, that this game called Untethered using Google Daydream mm-hmm. seemed kind of cool because you could be a radio studio disc jockey and
you can use your natural radio unstrained voice.
Exactly.
And for those of us who have a face for radio, it's great to be on the show.
Yeah. And apparently your producer will keep interrupting you in this show.
Well, what's really funny is I actually this morning was playing around and tried to load a bunch of little AR apps, and almost all of them were Google Cardboard apps.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was like a dogfight. I was like, oh, cool. You know, you're flying in the plane. And not dogs fighting, but a aerial dogfight.
Yes.
I don't know how to shoot. So basically, I could fly around and then get shot down.
Get shot down.
And then there was another app that was water slide. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And basically, when I looked, I'd start inching that direction, and then it would start me back over. I'm like, okay. So every one of the apps, I guess, was assuming that you had some other way of communicating with the app to do something. The only one that really worked was a roller coaster one, and that was fun. Because all you do is sit down.
To lose your lunch.
And it was feeling pretty good. Oh, man. Well,
do you have a Google Cardboard setup?
No, I got this really cool little thing that you put your phone in, though.
Oh.
Which had a little controller with it.
I remember that.
I don't know where I got that. It's really cool.
Somewhere.
And I was trying to use that, and it's great for like 360 videos and that type of stuff. But for all the Google Cardboard apps, I guess you have to press some button to enable something, which you probably can get to if you have Google Cardboard. But in that headset, which is great because you're totally hands-free,
right?
You can't. Even with the little controller that you have with it, that would let me turn the volume up and down.
Huh.
And that was it. If it could let me shoot, I would be happy.
I wonder how that would be, because it would make like very little sense to have your hands on your phone in the Google Cardboard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like magic sauce. I don't know.
Could be.
Well, speaking of magic sauce, another article that you got for us to talk about today is this lawyer bots.
Yep.
From MIT Technology Review.
We're on another bot kick here, except this is not the robot bot. This is the virtual bot. And there's lots of stuff in the news these days about jobs that are staying, jobs that are going, you know, what's going to happen to the workplace of the future in a lot of respects. And the legal industry, military complex, is an area that has some ripe opportunities for what is essentially very detailed, one might see even tedious kind of work, where in order to do discovery or to prepare a brief or to look up relevant case law takes a long time.
Yes.
And computers can read faster than people, as we know. And why not law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea here is, instead of doing the work that a paralegal would do right now, you know, go get me every case that deals with a hot coffee spilling in somebody's lap, you can ask a system to start pulling all that for you. And then that's one step of automation. Then the next one could be, you could have it summarize things or look for similarities and differences based on your particular case to see if there's precedent. And then you can take that one step further. And before you know it, you can do what would be ordinarily done by a paralegal or a junior attorney in a practice.
Cool.
So that's, you know, when they do the things like, you know, trudge through stacks of dusty law books to find relevant information. I mean, this is exactly what computers are great at.
Absolutely.
So it kind of grabbed me about there's an optical character recognition start. Yes. There is a build a database. Yes. The next big thing is to put some artificial intelligence into that secret awesome sauce.
Just sprinkle and have it on
pick
the top.
Something else. Yeah.
Just sprinkle it on the top. And then index it. Collate it. Correlate it and collate it. Search it. Bought it.
Yep.
Learn it.
Yep. And so there's some really interesting things here about Kira systems, approved, a bunch of stuff like that, that are examples of this. And you were remembering us chatting about something that was kind of similar here. It was kind of a law bot that individuals could use on their behalf to do certain tedious tasks and filings.
There were two of them that immediately came to mind. One was to deal with flight insurance. Because very few people actually deal with flight insurance, and this thing would actually notify you if you had a flight whose flight insurance you took out and never claimed, and a claim was available.
Right.
And then, which was more just a pure bot, but the one that was more interesting was this kid, and I say kid because I think he's like in his teens. Had developed one that would help people go through immigration law right. if they were trying to flee from the various refugee space country, refugee areas in the world and get legal immigration status at various countries. Ooh. And I thought that one was neat because that's complex law now with a lot of loops and hoops and steps. That you need to go through and understand before you can file correctly.
And when you imagine that someone is in a position where they are a refugee, it could very well be that all they have are the clothes on their back and potentially the phone in their pocket.
Yep.
And the phone in their pocket could give them access to that level of help to get them what they need to do from an immigration law perspective and what country they are finding themselves in.
Absolutely. Know? And it's amazing. It just shows you once again how information and access to information has become so fundamental to day-to-day life and activity nowadays that people will, you know, leave their homes and most of their property behind to escape these horrific events in countries. But they will make sure that they keep having access to the internet with a smartphone.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I love it. So, Michael, there was one thing that you pulled up that I was kind of excited to see here, too, because of the color of this particular device.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that's why I want it. No. This week, earlier in the year, there was rumors. No rumors. Apple said they were going to do it, that Apple was going to release a iMac Pro edition to really focus on the creators. And if you remember at the September keynote, they showed work going on with Oculus Rift and other headsets for VR work and just incredible capabilities around number crunching and machine learning, etc. Well, on Tuesday of this week, Apple announced that on Thursday of this week, you could get your very own iMac Pro. And this is all the reviews I've read about it from people I trust have been very positive. The word is, if you don't know if you need one, you don't need it. But if you know you need one, it's a no-brainer, even though, as you and I were talking about before the show, I spec'd one out, you know.
Yeah.
Basically maxed it out, and $13,400-something. But I mean, the specs are just unbelievable at that level. And even the entry-level specs are pretty unbelievable at $5,000. And if you max out a current iMac, 5K iMac, if you max it out, it's over $5,000 today, too.
Ooh,
yeah. So there's a little bit of product overlap on the pricing range. But when I first saw it in some of the really, really early reviews, I was a little bit frustrated because they talked about it is totally non-upgradable. That is not completely true, because my original plan, I need to replace my iMac, and my plan was I'd get the entry-level one, maybe bump the processor up to the mid-size processor, but not the memory or the storage. Right. And then I would upgrade that over time as I needed it. Well, you can max it out with a 4 terabyte SSD drive, which just blows me away. That's like a $2,800 option. But it appeared in the early reviews that you couldn't upgrade the memory after you bought it.
And that's not true.
There's no door to access it. But you can by taking it to an authorized Apple service center, and they can pop the case open and put memory in it.
Right.
And I would assume that they could also pop the case open and put new SSD in. But yeah, I think this one is out of my price range.
Did you read about the new T2 chip?
Yes, I did.
That sounds very intriguing.
Well, it sounds really intriguing from a security perspective, right? Because yeah. They've added, they've taken the chip that's currently used to drive the touch bar in the MacBook Pro, the right. T1, and they're not using it to drive a touch bar in the iMac Pro. It's actually a subsystem during the boot sequence to do a lot of security and validation, which can also lock in the hardware, right? If you think about it, because now you have a fully, you know, full arm subsystem to do capabilities for part of the system, including boot validation and other security features. Right. I also noticed in one of the reviews, no one has said anything about this yet, but they showed a picture of the iMac Pro at an angle, and it looks like it has the FaceTime ID sensors on the top of the screen.
Ooh.
There were 5 sensors. There was the camera and 4 other dots, 2 on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to my non-knowledgeable look, because I haven't seen this in person yet, to me that looks like the FaceTime sensors, but I'm not sure.
Pretty slick.
Yeah. Yeah. It does look impressive, and the benchmarks and everything for, you know, the 10-core machine. So it comes in 4 configurations, an 8-core, a 10-core, a 14-core, and an 18-core. Only the 8 and the 10 are available right now. The other 2 are going to be available early in the year.
Right.
But wow. Unbelievable speed, throughput, et cetera. And if you're doing video editing, or VR work, this is what you want until the Mac Pro comes out, which is sometime next year.
Right.
So very impressive. If somebody wants to give me a check for about $20,000 for free, I'll go buy one. And you can donate to our show.
In the tip jar.
In the tip jar. Yes.
20K amounts are accepted, right? Yeah.
But yeah, that's beautiful looking machine. Physically, other than the fact that it's space gray, it has a very similar look and style to the traditional iMac, the 5K iMacs. But it's space gray. So you'll know if you have it.
That's for sure.
Cool.
That's for sure. I'm checking to see if I can get the mouse or the keyboard in space gray, and it looks like the answer to that is a big old no.
You can get it with the device, but I don't think you can get it without it.
Yeah.
So.
Nifty. All right. Well, you know, we are about at time, Michael. So any games you're playing? Anything?
Nothing really new right now other than the AR ones I played with this morning. I don't even remember most of them. No, how about yourself? Anything new and exciting?
The only thing I've been playing new recently is a game called Retro Soccer. Soccer. So I'm going to put that into the show notes. And it is, as you might know from me, it is 8-bit. A 8-bit type game. It reminds me a little bit. Do you remember when we used to play small ball all those years ago?
Many, many years ago.
Yeah, so it's a little bit like that, except it's for the beautiful game of soccer.
Very cool. And matter of fact, that looks like it's available both on iOS and Android.
Yes.
So we'll make sure that we put the link that'll let you pick your version in the show notes.
Well, we might.
Because not all of our listeners are Apple or iOS people.
Oh, they could be.
No, they're not.
They might. Maybe they should be.
Well, if we count, let me see. There's one, two. No.
Two, one.
But I'm really looking forward to Apple just released a beta for the iTunes Connect for us podcasters to get more statistics. They don't identify individuals, but hopefully it'll help us kind of get a better feel for where our listeners are around the globe and if there are certain things that we need to maybe expand our focus on or narrow it down from.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. I can't wait to see that level of data and stats. Cool.
Excellent. Well, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is our year-end show. We hope everybody had a great 2017 and enjoyed listening to us here over at gamesatwork.biz. And we look forward to continued podcasting in 2018 with your feedback. Hope to hear from you at gamesatwork.biz, which is our website, or yep. Our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/gamesatwork. Biz, or our Twitter account at gamesatwork_biz. We're also on Google Plus and on Tumblr. If you're on any of those, I don't remember the names anymore, but not many people are there anymore. But if you are, we're still there.
You can find us.
Come see us.
And you may want to go ahead and download all those old episodes that you may have missed now, while you still can, for that same low price point of free.
Yes. They're going fast. We don't want you to run out the bits.
Don't want you to run out of bits, because thanks, FCC.
Have a great rest of the year, everybody, and we'll see you in 2018. Bye.
Happy New Year. See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. And we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.